When Jesus Christ was born more than 2,000 years ago, he was like a magnet drawing people to Bethlehem. From the shepherds on the hills to the wise men in the east, people were compelled to meet their newborn king. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll reminds us that the magnetic force that pulled people toward the manger is still drawing men and women today. And during the next half hour, we'll hear a message that celebrates this prophetic moment when Jesus broke onto the human stage. Chuck titled his message, "The Magnet That Still Draws Us Close."
We have four books in the New Testament that focus almost full attention on Jesus. Matthew writes a kingly gospel as he underscores the significance of the regal story of Christ, linking him often to statements from the Old Testament. Mark writes as a servant to others as he portrays Christ. John presents the Savior much later than the other three gospel writers as deity, as God in the flesh. When you get to Luke, the gospel by Luke, you see Jesus as a man. And so we're not surprised that the details of his birth are traced more clearly in Luke's account than in the other three gospel writers. You may find it interesting, as I did in my study, that no one in the Roman world chronicled the birth of Jesus. No one. It was as if it never happened. It wasn't even a blip on the screen of significance to the Romans. Had it not been for those who wrote years after his death and resurrection and ascension, we would virtually know nothing of the Savior. But by God's direction, he led Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to write independently, without contradiction, the complex account of Christ. And that emphasis on his manhood, his humanity, I should say, is in Luke's gospel. In Luke chapter 2, we have a rather thorough account of what occurred as it relates to Mary the mother, Joseph her husband, and the birth of the Savior, followed by the shepherds as they come on the scene. And we'll later go to Matthew's account to see the Magi as they gather, often called the three wise men. But we want to look at Luke 2 right now. I'll be reading from A New Living Translation. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem of Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. You will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called "The Magnet That Still Draws Us Close."
Whatever else we may say about the celebration of the birth of Jesus, one thing is for sure, he still draws us together with others. Whether it's a phone call on Christmas Day here locally or maybe miles away, or even the sending of an electronic message on our little handheld device, or perhaps a card we choose carefully and send to this person we love. Or maybe it's a trip we take. I just heard this past week of the millions of people who will be traveling because it's this time of the year, and we're drawn together with others we love. Some of you are here in our worship service who are not normally here because this time of the year has drawn you close to your loved one or your friend, your family member. I love that. In fact, sometimes the drawing together is borderline miraculous. No exaggeration. Listen to this true story. The brand new pastor and his wife, newly called to their first place of ministry to reopen an old rundown church in urban Brooklyn, arrived in early October, all excited about their opportunities. When they saw the church, it really was a mess and needed much work. They set a goal to have everything done in time to have their first service on the night of Christmas Eve. They worked hard repairing pews and plastering walls, painting, installing wood trim, finishing floors, and on the list went. On December 18, they found themselves actually ahead of schedule. On the 19th, a terrible driving rainstorm hit with enormous force, lasted two full days without a let up. On the 21st, they went back to check things out, and to their great disappointment, they saw where the roof had leaked, causing a large section of plaster, about 6 by 8 feet square, to fall off the front wall of the sanctuary just behind the pulpit, beginning about head high. Their hearts sank. They cleaned up the debris as best they could, realizing through tears that they had no other option but to cancel the Christmas Eve meeting. So they left and started for home, dejected. On the way, they noticed a local business was having a flea market type sale for charity, so they stopped in. One of the items was a beautiful handmade ivory-colored crocheted tablecloth with exquisite handwork, fine colors, and a cross embroidered right in the center. They looked at each other and smiled. It was just the right size to cover the damaged section of the front wall, so they bought it and quickly headed back to the old church. By this time, it had started to snow. And an older woman running toward them was trying desperately to catch her bus, and she missed it. The pastor invited her to wait in the warmth of their building for the next bus, which would be along 45 minutes later. She sat in a pew at the back and paid no attention to the couple as they dragged a ladder in place and began hanging materials along with a hammer they had, and then began to drape the tablecloth in front of the building as a wall tapestry. The couple could hardly believe how beautiful it looked. It perfectly covered the entire damaged area. Suddenly, the pastor turned and noticed the woman who had been sitting in the back, walking down the center aisle, her mouth wide open and her skin white as a sheet. "Where did you get that tablecloth?" He explained to the older woman where they had gotten it. And she said, "Would you look in the right corner and see if the initials EBG are crocheted into it there." Those were the woman's initials. She had made this tablecloth 35 years before while living in Austria. The woman could hardly believe it as the pastor told her how he had just found and purchased it. The tablecloth. The old woman explained that before World War II, she and her husband were well-to-do people living their lives in Austria before the Nazis came, which forced them to escape. They left everything. Her husband was going to follow her the next week. Shortly thereafter, she was captured, sent to a concentration camp, and never again saw her beloved husband. All three stood silently and sadly staring at the tablecloth. The couple pleaded with her to take the tablecloth, but she refused. It would serve a much better purpose right there where they had hung it. The pastor insisted on driving her home. That was the least he could do. She lived on the other side of Staten Island and had been in Brooklyn only for a house cleaning job. A wonderful service they had on Christmas Eve. Their little church was almost full. The music and the spirit of the evening blended beautifully. Everyone just loved being there together. At the end of the meeting, the pastor and his wife greeted everyone at the door. Most said they would surely return on Sunday. All left except one older gentleman still sitting in the little sanctuary. Pastor recognized him as one of the men he had seen in their neighborhood. He continued to sit and stare. Finally, the pastor sat down beside him as the old man asked where he had gotten the tablecloth on the front wall. He was curious because it was identical to the one his wife had made years before when they lived in Austria, before the Great War. Without hesitation, the old man told how the Nazis had come and how he had forced his wife to flee for her safety and how he was supposed to meet her later, but he had been arrested and put in a concentration camp for several years. Tears flowed. He told how he had not seen either his wife or his home again for all those 35 years. Isn't this a great story? Pastor quietly asked him if he would allow him to take him for a little ride. Without explaining where they were going, they drove to Staten Island, to the same house where the pastor had taken the woman three nights earlier. He helped the old man climb those flights of stairs up to the woman's apartment. He didn't say a word, simply knocked on the door, then stepped aside into the shadows and watched and listened and wept. He saw the greatest Christmas reunion he could ever imagine. Not only was Christmas never the same again for the old couple, neither was it for the young pastor and his wife in Brooklyn. The stories continue on how God orchestrates people's lives. He began with orchestrating the birth of the Savior. Paul writes in Galatians 4, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son. You know, we easily pass over that. And we miss what it's saying. It means when the culmination of all the necessary and predicted events had fallen into place, the Savior came. Exactly where God had appointed him to be born, and at the time he was to come. Amazing that the Lord could bring together a husband and wife after a separation of 35 years, but how much more amazing that God could, well, let me be specific, 700 years earlier, through the pen of a prophet named Micah, lead him to write that it will be in Bethlehem where this one will come, and all those centuries later, he comes exactly where the prophet said he would be born, even though the mother nor her husband lived anywhere near Bethlehem. We forget those things because of the familiarity of the story and the ignorance of geography, quite honestly. Nazareth is here, 90 miles north of Bethlehem down here. Nazareth is up in Galilee, Bethlehem down here in Judea, not far from Jerusalem. not far from the Dead Sea, way down here. But they were there, and the baby's born here. He had to be born there, because that's what the prophet had predicted, exactly as God had written. Look closely. My Bible is open again to Luke chapter 2. I always smile when I read this because I picture a rather pompous emperor named Augustus. By the way, he gave himself that name. Yeah, what else is new? Augustus. He has the power to make a decree that gets people moving all over his kingdom. He knows nothing of Micah. He doesn't realize he's a piece of lint on the page of prophecy. And here is Augustus making this decree for a whole new run of taxes, which required everybody to go to their hometown. Look at it. At the time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned. Look at the power of a Augustus-driven decree. All the people, all had to return to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. Can you imagine the grousing and the complaining and the bad attitudes and all the adjustment that had to be made and all of the schedules for people to go back and forth here and yon to get to their hometown, because it's there they had to register for that official registration. And that explains why Joseph goes to Bethlehem. He's related to David, according to this. He is a descendant of King David. He had to go to Bethlehem, David's ancient home. Of course he had to go there. Not because of Augustus. He had to go there not because of Micah. He went there because of a sovereign God. Don't ever forget this. Christmas is a reminder that God sovereignly gets his way in the most unexpected and surprising ways.
Leading up to Christmas Day, Chuck Swindoll is guiding us through this study of Luke chapter 2, watching the story of Jesus' birth unfold. He titled his message, "The Magnet That Still Draws Us Close." If at all possible, I urge you to join us next time when Chuck's message continues. You're listening to Insight for Living. And to learn more about this nonprofit ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Well, Chuck, you've often helped us understand that the gift of Christmas isn't an isolated event that includes only the glories of heaven and the humble stable in Bethlehem. That's the vertical expression of God's grace. But the gift of grace doesn't stop there.
You're absolutely right, Dave. It's not enough to claim a vertical relationship with God. Yes, God's grace comes to us vertically. That is, we receive his grace from above. But grace doesn't stop with that vertical transaction. Grace is meant to be shared liberally across the board, horizontally, in all of our relationships, and even with those we may never meet. Remember what Jesus told his disciples that night before he was crucified? I'm reading from John 13, verse 34, out of the Message, where Jesus said, "Let me give you a new command. Love one another. In the same way I loved you, you love one another." Now that's our mission here at Insight for Living Ministries. It's our mission to send a fragrance of God's love and God's grace to our community, our country, and even around the world, which includes your country. And now, as December 31 approaches, please ask the Lord to guide you in standing with us by giving a very generous year-end gift. Without exaggeration, I can tell you that your support is urgently needed. Your gift can make all the difference. So together, let's be lavish with our love by responding generously with our resources. Please get in touch with us right now. Jesus said one more thing to his disciples that evening before his ultimate sacrifice. He added this statement, "This is how everyone will recognize that you were my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other." As you give, others will see the love you and I have for them. Let's do it together.
And if you don't have a pen to write down our contact information, let me suggest that you respond to Chuck Swindoll by sending a text. If you're listening in the United States, just text the one word INSIGHT to this easy-to-remember number, 555-888. Again, text INSIGHT to 555-888. You can also give your end-of-the-year gift right now by going online to insight.org/donate. Again, that's insight.org. Or give us a call. If you're listening in the United States, the number is 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. It's because of the generous gifts of friends like you that this past year has proven to be one of the most productive years in our history. And you can learn more about what God has accomplished through our partnership by visiting us online. Simply go to insight.org. To give that special end-of-the-year donation, call us anytime, day or night. If you're listening in the United States, the number is 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. Or give a donation online by going to insight.org/donate. Tuesday, Chuck Swindoll continues his message about the magnet that still draws us close, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, "The Magnet That Still Draws Us Close," was copyrighted in 2018 and 2019, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.